All right, boys and girls, here we go again. So, let's see. I invited Gus. Let's see where he's at. If he's here. I had him in the box. I don't know where the heck he's at. Let's see if he's coming. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see. Come on, my man. Add viewers to be in your broadcast. I invited you, Gus. Are you coming? Are you coming? Where are you? Oh man, where are you? I think I'll be Batman until you come. That's pretty sweet. Well, this is Brian Ozone as the Batman. Oh shit, what the hell was that? I guess I threw a batarang. Oh well. Well, Gus, please show up. Let's get this down pat. I really want to do this. I know the fans want to do this. I know there's some pretty interesting stuff that needs to be spoken about. And it'd be nice if you, if we could figure this damn thing out and get it going. Because it's, right now it's quite frustrating that, we can't get this going. Now he's inviting me to be in his thing. I don't know what the hell is going on, but we shall try to figure this out. Let's see. I'm gonna see if I can get on his, thingamajig. Where the hell is Facebook? Jesus Christ. Perfect. Facebook is installing, so we gotta give it a minute. I don't know what's going on. Well, let's transform it to the Flash. Hey, yowza! Just went to the Speed Force. And I guess this is... Well, I guess a white guy could be Cyborg, right? With all these other black actors being white and white actors being black, so... Why not? I'm looking for Superman. I don't see Superman anywhere. Let's see. Anywhere. I don't see Superman. That's weird. They have all the other guys. I guess I'm doing a scan, right? Guess that's what that is. Damn, man. I really want this to work. I'm really upset that I can't figure this out. I'm telling you guys, if there's anybody out there that can help me out with doing friggin' podcasts, please let me know. I need to start doing these things myself. I really want to be in control, you know, and do it myself and not rely on anybody. Scan. It's not scanning. Oh well. It's not scanning. Doctor Who. I can't stand Doctor Who. All right. Oh, here we are. I am adding. It says I'm adding Gus. Let's see if he comes on. Gus, are you there? It's the Batman. Batarang. Nope, that didn't work. How do you make the Batarang come? I don't know. Smoking Joe, I'm telling you, brother, you're pretty smart with computers. Figure out how to teach me how to. If you figure it out, I'll buy you all the beer you want.
Back to being a robot or some kind of pixelated screen.
I'm friggin' Batman. You don't know who I am?
Well, no, it's the screen is completely pixelated. It's
all right, hold on. Hold on. I'm gonna get rid of it. Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
There you are. All right, well, wait. I switched the camera around. Hold on a second.
No, you're still coming in all messed up. I don't know what that's about, but I can hear you fine, though.
Hold on. Now, do you see me?
No,
you
all I'm seeing
see
is,
me.
Yeah, everything is all broken up into pixelate. It's pixelated. It's
seriously?
It's really messed up. It's like Morse code.
All right, we'll put it like this. I can see you fine. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
All right, we're gonna do this. I don't care. Well. This is a stepping stone in the right direction. All right, boys and girls. Well, now you're pixelated. Now I can't see you. All right, boys and girls. Welcome, finally, to the Masters of the Galaxy Facebook podcast, and I am Brian Ozone, and I am here with Gus Park. And he is famously Ninja from the Power Tour. So, Gus, it's been a hell of a month trying to get us together, but we're here.
Somewhat, I guess.
yeah, somewhat. So, finally, it's. I'm glad we can finally speak and others can hear us. Even though if they might not be able to see us, at least we'll be able to speak and, excuse me, communicate. So,
yeah, I got Masters of the Universe, Joe, he says, "What's up, Gus?"
Yeah.
He says, I see you both great. Well, that's good that he can see us.
Good.
You know, I don't know if it's
good.
The difference between using... Huh?
That's good. At least they can see us. I mean, I can see you. I don't know why. Maybe you can't see me, but hey, it's a start. So you know, like I said, this is a stepping stone in the right direction. So we'll have a part two or a part three where we can finally get it the right, you know, get it right.
Right.
Everybody that's listening, Gus, he was on the Masters of the Universe Power Tour. Most famously,
people would know you for your on-stage presence as Ninja. You did other things as well for the show. So would you like to tell the fans exactly, what roles or what you did?
Sure, why not? Can you hear me okay, guys?
I hear you fine.
Okay, all right. I have the phone a little way away from me because I got it plugged in. I was also the choreographer of all of the battle sequences you see on the show. I played five characters. I played Ninjor, I played a wizard, a guard, and plus I was the understudy for Skeletor, Hordak, and one or two other people. Say again? What was
I didn't
that?
say anything. That was your
Oh,
kid.
yeah, no, it's the voices in my head.
Yeah, we all have them.
Yeah. I know there's a big delay for some of the people that are hearing me because I'm getting responses pretty late. I'm out here in Arizona, so there's some delay in sound. But yeah, I was the choreographer, played Ninjor, and five other characters.
Nice. Now, with the understudy and stuff like that, was did you ever have to actually perform in any of those understudies?
Oh yeah, and
Oh
it
yeah.
wasn't fun. It wasn't fun putting on somebody else's sweaty costume after two or three shows in a row. But yeah, there were times I had to do Skeletor, Hordak, which was the worst of the costumes. Who else? One or two other characters. It doesn't come to me. But the exciting ones are Skeletor because of the choreography.
Really? Now, well, you did the choreography, right? So it was pretty much like second nature, I guess, and so, right?
It was, and the fun part is not only knowing the choreography, but that's where the action was. Getting into the fights
Yeah.
and the battle sequences, that was always a lot of fun.
Yeah. How was it working with Jack?
Jack was in the beginning, everybody got to know each other first. We had to get to know each other, find out what we were about. He had prior experience working on Conan out in Universal with his wife. It wasn't his wife at the
Yes.
time, but they got married on Universal Studios. She was, I think, Red Sonja. And so he had some experience. So he brought that experience to the show, and it helped me with the choreography as well. Learning little tricks of the trade that he picked up doing the Conan show at Universal. Those are great people. Like I was talking to you earlier, I didn't realize when I was doing the choreography how much I put on Jack when he was playing He-Man on stage with his muscle mass and the kind of energy it takes to keep up with doing two, sometimes three shows with the kind of choreography. So I kind of put too much on him, but he stood up to the plate and hit a home run, every time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you guys came to my hometown and of course your hometown, Radio City Music Hall, you guys were doing three shows a day. That must have been,
Yeah.
that must have been a lot on your body and everything else. I mean, stress-wise, I mean, that must have really taken a toll on you guys.
It did. It was really rough. We had a lot of injuries in rehearsals. The stage was shortened because the stage at Radio City is really short. It has
Yes.
hydraulics and all that, but it's really short. So we didn't have a backstage much at all. We had each side and a very tight hallway going in the back where all the cables and all that mess. So we had one person broke a leg, and she was Evil Lyn. She played Evil Lyn. So we had to use the understudy to take the place. In fact, and I have it on video, we used a guy to play Evil Lyn one time. Believe that or not, yeah, we use. In fact, Evelyn's friend was one of the dancers with long hair, played Evelyn, and I have it on videotape. And
wow.
And nobody knew the better. So
wow.
With that injury, it was rough coming back from that. Another person had a finger crushed or smashed by some of the swords doing choreography, and then we had. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard a horn go off or something.
Yeah,
the other thing that happened.
I'm using my phone, so you know the notifications. You might hear bleeps and glicks and stuff like that, but just ignore them because I. Just don't pay attention to them. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, do any of you guys have a copy of the program from the Masters of the Universe?
Yeah, I actually I have the original program, and I was gonna buy the one that they sold at PowerCon last year, but I mean, pretty much except for it saying Super 7, it was pretty much to the T. It was a complete replica, so I didn't bother buying the replica since I own the original.
Right. No, the replicas were fantastic. They did a great job putting that together. In fact, it kind of looked better than the originals, but there's nothing like the original. But on the original, you see the Castle Grayskull. It's used in some of the pictures, you know, the background pictures and so on. Well, while we were in Radio City Music Hall, the pyros hit the Castle Grayskull and it caught fire.
Heard about that.
Yeah. And we kept going. We kept acting. We kept going. Some guys came out and used their little, you know, fire extinguishers. And all we can hear is you hear that going on. And we're looking over our shoulder and the show must go on. So we kept going on with the show despite the smoke and all that. People thought it was part of the effects and it wasn't. Sadly enough, they had to make an emergency replacement for that Grayskull, and the replacement was awful, just awful.
Yeah, I
know they only had.
I think Doug Songster. I think Doug Howard. He told me about that incident, and he said that if you saw the original version of Grayskull, and then if you saw the one that they flew in, it was in absolute no comparison. He said the one that they flew in was half of what the original one looked like.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was sad. It was sad. I think I don't want to say anything worse. You do what you can, and that's what they did, and these guys were out there just going, what are we working with? And really, they didn't give them a lot of information. But this is something, you know, you can't anticipate, but you should. And you should have always a backup of everything, but they didn't.
Right.
And that's okay. We managed the rest of the season or the rest of the year with the new skull, and the kids didn't know any better, but we knew it was just awful. It wasn't working for us. I'll have to post it one day, the before and after picture, but those who have the program, they can look at before and then they can go to the videos that I've been posting on YouTube. And they'll get a chance to see the newer one because I started recording the show, sadly enough, after the fire, after Radio City. They would not let me videotape in Radio City. They were strict about no recordings. And so, sadly enough, some of the best shows we've had, exhausted, you know, by the third show, they were pushing for a fourth show. I don't think we ever did a fourth. They were pushing for it. Because
really?
They were making so much.
Four shows in one day, man? Jesus Christ. Is there even enough time in a day?
I know.
The show.
I know.
The show ran like almost 3 hours, no?
Yeah, it's just under, a little over 2.5, well, 2 hours, 15 minutes with the break, the intermission.
Right.
So, yeah, we were exhausted. Your suit, you get out of these muscle suits that are made of cushion. And you get out of these suits, and they're soaked. And then they come, and they try to hair blow it, and they try to steam clean it and get it ready for the next show. When you put it on,
they never got the stench out.
You can't. The stench, but then it's wet and cold. So you put this thing on and it's really cold. It takes a while for your body to adjust. Then you're back to hot. They were so hot. In fact, in Vegas, I blacked out on stage. I was dehydrated. I was on stage doing escapes as Ninja. Yeah, and I was in full costume. And I think it was the second or third show. We were trying to stop the three shows. It was just getting – we had a little protest about three shows because it was too dangerous. But this was earlier in Las Vegas. So, yeah, I blacked out on stage, and all I know is I woke up backstage, and he says, yeah, we dragged you off, and we pretend that it was part of the show. That was the good thing about Man-at-Arms, Zach being live on mic. He was able to improvise, Ninjor is down and the refrigerator door is closed and they dragged me off stage. Yeah, so, but let me see.
Man at Arms and Songster were the only two people who were live mics, correct?
Yes. Everything else is pre-recorded. We went into the studios, some of us. Of course, the voice is the original He-Man. I don't know if it's the original She-Ra for the voiceover, but a lot of it's voiceover, computer. I went into the studios to do the guard scene where when I come out and says, Skeletor's forces are on the march. People want to know who's going to lead us. Well, I went in and did the recording, and they altered the voice. They changed it so it sounded British. And they didn't ask me to do a British accent or anything at the time. We just sat in the studio. I did about 10 takes of the same thing, high, low, fast, slow. And then when I heard it on the recording for the rehearsal, I just started laughing. I go, okay, that's not me. It can't be me. But, there were times when I was doing the radio. When we did the radio, Jack could not get the He-Man voice completely down. So I did.
Whoops, are you there? I think we got a glitch. Hello? Gus? You there, buddy? I think we might have our first glitch of the night. Keep talking. Maybe you'll come through. Yeah, that must have been exhausting doing that many shows. Well, they just lost Gus. Hopefully he comes back. Let me see if I can get him back on here. Yeah, I absolutely love the Power Tour. I'm just a big, 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 huge fan. That's why I'm doing these shows with the cast members to let people know about it and open people's eyes, so maybe they can get involved and looking it up and knowing about it because. It's kind of like the lost canon of masters because it's the only original character from it was Doug Howard character, which was Songster. Because all the other characters, He-Man, She-Ra, Hordak, Rizlor, the list goes on. So they were regular characters that are already in the comic books, cartoons, toys, this and that. So, I always, whenever they had the polls up at He-Man.org and in other places that, what characters would you like made into figures, I always voted for Songster because I believe that the Power Tour should be represented in some form or shape or form in the Masters of the Universe lore. It's something that it should be, people should know about it. I mean, it happened. It's a part of Masters. To have it represented in one way or another, in my eyes, would be having a figure like Songster made. We had him in the New Mini Comics as the storyteller of Eternia. To have that, I think, would really open up other people's eyes in seeing that it happened. Gus, I am going to reintroduce you. Hopefully, you can come back on. I really want to get this interview in, man. I really, 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 really want you on to do this. But yeah, I mean, it's Gus put up a couple of videos up on YouTube. You can check it out. Check out Power Tour, or you can go to his Gus Park, subscribe to his YouTube channel, and he's got bits and pieces of it. He also has some interviews of some local television station that does interviews with Jack and Leslie Wadsworth that play He-Man and She-Ra. So you can check that out too. And it's just like I just want the fans to be educated on it, because like I said, it happened. It's part of Masters any. Check it out. It's on YouTube. Gus put up bits and pieces here and there. They actually had the reunion last year at Power Tour. Gus was fortunate enough. There he is. Gus is back. Gus, you hear me, buddy? I see a picture of you. He was able to bring a copy of the Power Tour, and I think it was Saturday night that they showed it, so we were able to watch it, and it was great. And then, afterwards they had the cast there, and we were able to hang out and talk, speak with Gus in person. And that's when I hounded him to come on and do an interview, either on the podcast or a written interview or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I've been trying to get him and Doug, and again, like when Doug was on, I even asked, I didn't want to ask him off camera or when we spoke before the show or whatever. I wanted to talk to him on the show about it, about him not doing an interview in so many years. He doesn't do interviews. But he was fortunate enough to speak with me and do the interview, and he didn't even go to PowerCon last year, so I was very happy that he took the time out to do the show and talk with me and be on the show and speak with the rest of the guys. And me and him speak here and there on Messenger. It's for it, it, it it's cool that to have these friendships with these guys. And I'm sure it makes them feel good that there's people like me that hunt them down and want them to be relevant, because they should be. Again, they're a part of Masters any which way you look at it. Maybe they're not Dolph Lundgren or someone like that. But in my eyes, they're still very much a part of it, just like anybody else. It's just a funny, it's just a way of looking at it. These guys really, they did their part, and I really, really, really think that they should be recognized for what they did. They really had a you know they really did they really did a you know they did their part, and to be a part of it was great. I mean, I was fortunate enough. I saw the show at Madison Square Garden. I can't tell you what show, what day, when, where, and how, but I was there. Many, many moons ago. I can't remember. My parents don't remember. But I was definitely there, and definitely saw it. And it was really cool. I was very happy to be able to go and see it. And it'd be pretty cool if they ever decided to do something like that again. I mean, it was definitely cool. But again, something like that, who knows that something like that would be able to work again. I think it would. Maybe not now, because there's really not much going on with Masters. It's more or less just the toy line. But if it ever got to the height to where it was back in the 80s, where it was a multi-million dollar entity, and you couldn't look or go anywhere without Masters being in your face, who knows? It may happen again. Who knows? It may not. But if it does, sure as shit, I'll be there. I'll definitely be there, and it would be really cool. Be really cool to have again. Basically anything with Masters would be really cool to have again. I mean, I just took my kids, me and my wife just took the kids to go see the Marvel Live thing. We just saw it at Nassau Coliseum, and they do that every year, and I remember seeing the DC one years ago. I believe it was like the DC characters with Warner Brothers, like Bugs Bunny and that. And I remember talking just this Easter about it with my family, about how shitty of a show it was back then. But with today's technology, I mean, that Marvel show, Marvel, forgot what it's called, Marvel Universe Live. It was crazy with the laser effects and everything else. If they were able to do if they were able to do Masters again, in any shape, form, it'd be amazing. It'd be friggin' awesome. It'd be so cool. But only time would tell if they were able to bring it back, and we see what happens. Definitely be something really interesting if they were able to do it again. But getting back to the Power Tour. The Power Tour it was extremely interesting for the time, because the set was it was so friggin' huge, man. It had
You had, let's say, you had Eternia, right? So you had Eternia, you had Grayskull. To the right, to stage right, I guess you would call it, you'd have like the Fright Zone, like where Hordak hung out. And in front of Eternia and Castle Grayskull, they had this huge like roller rink where the dancers would come out on roller skates. They also had the Eternian circus, which was it was crazy. I mean, the amount of ideas that went into the Power Tour was phenomenal. Even for the time, it was just absolutely phenomenal. All the ideas and things that they had for that show, it was absolutely crazy. They just went above and beyond what a live show would have. They had the light show, and then you had friggin' Songsta popping up out of the ceiling, disappearing, and then ending up coming out of the Fright Zone, running around the stage, disappearing, and then shooting out of this area and that area. It was insane. It was absolutely crazy for the time. If they would do something in that scale today, it would be crazy. The amount of things that they have that they could do now would blow it away. Would absolutely blow it away. It's crazy. Again, like if Masters ever became that popular, I can see them doing something like that again. And you know what? Jeez, it would sell out instantly. It would definitely be a sellout. It's something that would definitely work in today's standards with the special effects and this and that. It's something that it and guys like me and Joe Amato, Tom Ace, the Miz dudes, I mean guys that diehard fans, we'd probably go if there was three shows a day, just go three times in one day, or see it once a week, or whatever the case is, because it's just that cool. It's something that it's something that for its time I think was so above its time. It was just so crazy. I mean, I can only imagine what the budget was for that show, because, like I said, it had an attorney in circus. Amato's talking shit, Miz. And then you had, and not only the cast, but Gus was also talking about the understudies. Remember, you had to have understudies as well. You had to have people that was willing to be ready. God forbid somebody got hurt. You had to have somebody ready to go at the drop of a hat to pick up the pieces. So, I'm you know it, hold on a second. You really, again, it's just dude, with a show that big, just what you see is a lot. But then you got to realize the behind the scenes stuff is phenomenal. There he is, Gus.
Yeah, let me switch chairs here. Oh,
All right, you're back. I'm glad. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody made a phone call. Somebody was trying to call me, and when I hung up on it, Facebook froze up, and my phone froze up, and I had to turn off my phone.
That's all right.
Turn it back on. I'm being attacked by plants now.
That's all right. Yeah, the people are probably getting annoyed at me talking by myself, but I was, you know, just basically, I just, you know, I was just trying to tell everybody about, you know, how phenomenal, you know, this. Besides the people on stage, the amount of work that had to be done behind stage, the understudies, the people that did the technical stuff. I mean, you know, you guys had the attorney in circus. You guys had roller skaters. You know, it just all the stuff that went into the show was phenomenal, man. I mean, I'm sure you can elaborate more on that.
Yeah, let me just try to position myself. I'm trying to get more comfortable here. Okay, let's see if that'll work.
No, yeah, I'm
trying to stay plugged in. My phone would die. But anyway, yeah. You know, when you look at over, we had, I think, 3 truckloads and 2 tour buses. And 30 people, I think, a little over 30 people involved with keeping the show running. Wow. When we first started the show, the magnitude of the show was so big, it got to the point where we had to cut back on things. So as we went from town to town, we were eliminating so many props to cut down. They wanted to cut one of the trucks down.
Really?
The rigs. Yeah, it was expensive having 3 rigs and all the extra people. They had to cut back to make money. And so we got rid of a thing called a Stellafont, which was a elephant. It's an elephant, part of the Eternian Circus.
Right.
And it was a huge elephant. And myself, Ninjor, and 2 other bad guys, I think, or maybe 3, fit in it. And what is it, that horse that people hide in the horse, the warriors? But anyway, we hid in the elephant, and then a certain scene, the legs of the elephant opened up, and we came out, and we start, you know, ready to battle. And so I think I may have the elephant on some pictures or video when they put it in a dumpster. They threw it away in a dumpster. So they did away with that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was really bulky. It was big. But, man, it, you know, it was a surprise because kids go, oh, look at the pretty elephant, and then bad guys come out of it, you know. And so, They took out that. There was a cauldron where there's this dance scene of a, you know, Orko does this little magic thing. And there's a cauldron. They got rid of the cauldron. It was too big.
Now Orko was, she was a woman, right? That played
right.
Orko? Yeah.
Yeah, very small lady, Marcy. Yeah, Marcy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job, you know, roller skating in that costume, and your arms are tied up and you can only move from the elbow up. And she did a fantastic job. She was a great skater, too. She was really good on skates.
Well, yeah, she had, especially with that outfit on. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's some of the costumes made it really hard, not only to see, but to breathe. And, you know, it was work. It wasn't easy. When I saw other things in the past, like Disney on Ice and these others wearing costumes and ice skating and doing all of that, you thought, oh, we take it for granted until you're in a costume doing it yourself.
Right.
It is work. It is work. But like you were saying, the magnitude of this show at the time was the biggest of its kind. We had Siegfried and Roy would come over to see what they can learn. Michael Jackson came over. He stole some of our ideas with the double, the triple Skeletors, the 3 Skeletors.
Really?
Michael Jackson used, he used the prop stage that we used, the same method where he disappears on one side, pops up on the other side of the stage almost simultaneously. Well, he got the idea from the Masters of the Universe. They took
that. Oh, wow, look at that.
He came backstage. He took that idea. We had David Copperfield. I was sitting, I had an injury at one of the shows in Vegas, and not only the blackout, but a knee injury. And so I sat half the show out, and I was watching it from the stands like everybody else. And I look over to my right, and who's sitting next to me is David Copperfield.
No way.
And I go, oh. Yeah, and he was like, shh, shh, keep it down, keep it down. And I'm like, oh, no problem. You know? So he was watching the show. He really enjoyed the show. And so we had a lot of those crazy moments that very memorable moments where people were really interested. It, you know, it was in those days in 86, $2.5 million may not seem like a lot today because that's only a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, but back
today.
Then that was a lot of money, man.
That was big money. It was the biggest of its kind. And that's why people were coming from all over to check it out. Now, did we lose some of you guys? I Joe, there was a guy named Joe who was there for a little bit.
Yeah, that's my buddy Joe Amato. There's two Joes. Joe Amato and a buddy of mine that I known for a long time that lives in my neighborhood. His name is Joe Carson, but I gave him me and my brother gave him the nickname of Smoking Joe. So. But they're popping in and out. There's some viewers.
Yeah, there was one of them said that they bought a program from me at the Power.
Yeah, that was my buddy Joe. That was another Joe. Yeah. He said that he saw you last year and bought the program from you.
Right. Yeah, I kind of remember him. He's for some reason Joe. The name came up, and I think he was with his son. If I remember right, I even talked to him.
Yes, he was. You're right.
Yeah. I was. I had a meal and I sat down with them and talked to them for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. He. He's a little tall. Yeah. 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 Definitely. Yeah. He had his son with him. You're right. Yeah.
Real nice guy.
You got a friggin' good memory, bro. Let me tell you. I don't know. You said you remembered me too. It's crazy. You got a really, really good memory.
That's why I can share all these stories of the tour and other experiences because
I got to do it while I can. Write your book.
Yeah, I know. I'll get on it one of these days.
I'll be your ghostwriter for you.
It's on my procrastinating list.
Yeah, I got one of those too. Yeah,
no questions from the guys.
So do you have any what do you want to say? You got any funny? I know about the prank show. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that, but I'm sure the guys are the listeners would like to hear about that. The infamous prank show you guys had.
Yeah, and it was my fault too. We after doing 300 shows or more, it was becoming very monotonous. We were getting. Crazy. We were getting bored, and I decided to do something crazy, and that's a prank show. And only a handful of us knew about it. The others were in the dark, including Songster. He was in the dark, and so we were hiding props in different places that we would normally not use. For instance, Ninjor uses two swords. Well, instead of two swords. I used two inflatable sharks, Jaws sharks that were inflatable. and the young lady who I'm fighting, believe it or not, she plays, She-Ra's name before she's She-Ra. What's her name again?
You got to throw me on the spot. Jesus Christ. Princess Adora.
No, it's not Jesus. Okay, yeah, Princess Adora. So she played Adora, Sally, and she also plays this guard who I fight as Ninjor. And I come out with these two inflatable sharks instead of swords, and she's losing it, you know. And I'm fighting, having this core. Yeah, you got it, Joe. He said Adora. So we went with the fight with the sharks, and she's just, what is going on here? And there's. The scene with the clowns that come out for the Eternian Circus, and the clown hands Songster rubber poop. And he gets it in his hands, and you hear this blasting laugh. I mean, he just loses it. Forget the choreography, the singing, and he just starts cracking up out loud. And then he loses his composure. He's going down a ramp on these high heels, and he slips and falls. and you hear this curse going over the speakers in the entire arena. Because he fell, he hit himself hard, and boy, yeah, that was just bits and pieces of some of the stuff we were doing that day, and that we were doing tricks at the skate race, tripping people, and doing things that were a little dangerous that we should have been doing. But at the end, we all got fined very heavy.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, you guys got hefty. Yeah, Songster was telling me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got fined like $600, $700. For what I did, and that was a lot then. You know, it's not a lot today, but
oh yes, you know, that was probably the show's that show's paycheck.
Yeah, it was for a lot of people. It was, yeah, it was a big chunk of my paycheck. But yeah, so we didn't do that again. But I, you know, what's sad is I had it on video, and I loaned the video to my sister. And she had it in her VCR. Somebody broke into her apartment and stole the VCR, and it was in the VCR. So somewhere out there is a copy of the prank show of the Masters of the Universe Power Tour. And, you know, they didn't know what they had. They probably just threw it away, sold the VCR for a fix, you know, for their next fix. So that really tore me apart because it was one of my favorites. I was sharing it with my friends and family, and it was one of my favorite shows because – there was all kinds of things going on. It was fun seeing confusion on the faces of those that weren't participating. That didn't know
this was going on. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Like, they probably had no idea what the heck is going on except for you guys that were involved and, you know, having a time of your life. And then you got fined. And that wiped the smile off your face.
Well, yeah, it did. But I mean, you got all these little fines for eating with in your costume. If you caught drinking a soft drink or soda with your costume on, you got a fine. And
really,
you know, there's a lot of fines. Yeah, if you just left one of your, you know, weapons or something laying around, you got a fine. So there were a lot of hidden fines, but it was, you know, a way to preserve the costumes and everything. But what I told you about a story. This is how we made up for that experience with the pranks. We were in one of the, I can't remember what state it was, but it was freezing cold and it was a blizzard. I mean, 3-4 feet of snow. And we were close enough from the hotel to be able to walk to the arena.
Right.
And they had a path cleared for us to be able to walk to the arena. And we went to the arena and we looked around and we saw maybe 30 people, maybe less, 30, 35 people, it could be less. And we looked and we said, well, listen, folks, we would like for all of you, we appreciate you coming out in this crazy blizzard, but we think it's best that everybody should go home. We're going to cancel the show. And the people said, we're not going anywhere. We want a show. So we said, okay, we huddled backstage. We said, what do you want to do? Let's give them a show.
Right, right.
Let's give them the best show ever. Let us improvise a little bit and let us have some fun with this. And the director said, the stage director says, as long as nobody gets hurt, do whatever you want.
Nice.
And I said, we're going to put it on for these people. We're going to give. So we called all the people to sit down in front row, right in front of us. And we gave them the best show. You talk about the skate race. We were allowed to go at any speed we wanted. And really? We went at top speed. We were going around so many times. Zach, who played Man at Arms, couldn't keep up with us. And, we, you know, because he's live on the mic, you know, calling all the shots.
Right,
and
right.
He knew he was going to have to improvise because we were going to go crazy. So it was, like I said, it was one of the best shows we ever did. It was fantastic. It was a great show.
See, stuff like that's fun, you know, like when he can, you know, so to speak, to, you know, let your guard down and just have a good time and, you know, things like that make it all worth seeing wild when you're when you can actually have fun about it, you know.
Well, yeah, that's when it became easier for us to do when it wasn't work, and with time working together with these people, you became a family. You know, everybody got to know each other real well. The ups and downs, the sicknesses, the crying, the injuries.
Right.
You know, we became a family. I mean, when one was down, we were all down. And
yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, to this day, I'm still in touch with a lot of these people, and you know, a lot of them moved on, got married, have new lives, left acting, skating, and what have you. So I kind of left them alone. You know, with time, I left them alone because they moved on. You know, they don't want to live in the past. They just, you know, and me, my past is a reminder of where I'm going. If you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going.
True. And,
knowing where you've been, otherwise you just go in circles. So my past is a big part of who I am. So I don't want to forget it. I want to remember.
Yeah. Do you, do you guys, you know, I know, like, you know, certain things, certain plays or shows or things like that, you know, they'll have, like, get-togethers or so often or things of that nature. Do you guys have anything like that, or?
I did two reunions. I did one in New York and one in California, but I did two reunions and trying to gather as many of the people as possible. And it turned out okay, but less than half the people appeared. And it was just really hard for people, you know, to leave what they were doing, work, whatever it was, to show up. But it was great reunions. Both of them turned out really well. We had a ball. We shared the videos of the show and talked about incidents and so on. And that was so long ago. So, yeah, kind of everybody's, you know, people have moved on doing other things with their lives. And the most I did was I did my best to put a copy of one of the shows together for each and every one of them. So each and every one has a copy of the show. It's not the best copy. Some of them were video and whatever, but they weren't what I want to do with putting the compilation of all the shows that I have on one, you know, a DVD with all the different angles and all that. They just had a copy, maybe a half a copy of just segments that they were in. You know, and if I sent a bunch of copies, it was like to Jack, you know, and maybe even Songster, because he's the one that did a lot of the singing, and he was live, so for his stuff. But Eric, who played Eric Van Bars, who played Skeletor, the man is a genius in how he memorized everything. He played Skeletor, but he was Songster's understudy and Man at Arms' understudy.
Oh, really?
And yeah. So when
I remember talking to Doug, and Doug said that he had to miss. I think he said he missed one show or a couple, maybe a few shows at Radio City Music because of his voice. So, so is he the one that took Songster's place?
Yep. Yeah, there was about, I think, total three shows that, three or four shows, but maybe three shows that I remember. Doug, one time was really sick. And the other times was just, he had no voice left. You're doing so many shows, three, you know, and he, you know, he was hitting those high notes.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you hear him cracking and popping because he just couldn't hit it. I mean, it was just, it was too hard to keep.
Yeah, no.
It's, I know.
It's on your vocal cords, man, doing, you know, a 2.5 hour show three times a day times how many days in a row. I mean, that's
right. It's grueling. It's very grueling. But Eric Van Bars did a fantastic job, you know, standing in for Man at Arms. He didn't have the Man at Arms voice. It was a little higher, but, you know, he had to stand in for Zach a few times. Zach got really, really sick. He was physically exhausted, you know, ready to collapse. And Eric threw on the costume and, you know, he was Man at Arms. And when he did Songster, you know, Songster is Songster. Doug is Doug. Nobody can replace him. But Eric had a great voice. He had a great voice too.
I don't know if he was a character back then as he is now, but Doug's a character, man. he's one of a kind.
He was my roommate at first.
Oh, really?
When we were roomed with people, he was my first roommate. Later on, Man at Arms, Zach was my second roommate. And, you know, Songster, you know, Doug just wanted to be, he says, I'll pay extra money to have my own room to be alone. He wanted his privacy. He liked to have his privacy. But
right.
We got along really good as roommates. But, you know, he had his other side, his wild side, and he just wanted to be able to come and go as he pleased with anybody he pleased to do it with.
Yeah.
So he, you know, we decided, fine, I'll go and I wanted my own room too. And it was a time when I was paying a little extra, paying more to have my own room. But when I was with Zach, it worked out fine. Zach and I got along. Zach was kind of doing his own thing. You know, all of us were going on very little sleep.
Right.
Because, you know, you go to 30 something, like 30, over 30 cities, and you want to see everything. So, you know, if you sleep, you're gonna miss it.
Right.
And there were just times we just didn't get much sleep, an hour or two, and then we were out, you know, looking around, seeing everything and getting back, get a nap, and get up for the show.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, here's the million-dollar question. If you could do it all again, would you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they were talking about taking the show to Asia, to Japan and
right, yeah,
China
yeah.
and so on.
That was going to be the next really, step, right? That was canceled.
Right. That was the promise. The promise was, we're going to be going to Asia. And but it didn't happen. And of course, they were going to have to do more auditions because not everybody was going to go to Asia. Some people weren't interested in continuing with the tour. So, but they asked me. I said I had to leave before the rap show because my mother had a brain aneurysm, and I had to go to New York on the first flight out.
Right.
And it was the last show. But they asked me, are you going to come back if we go to Asia? I said, of course. You know, I'm there. To get paid to do this.
Sure, right.
So I said, yeah, I would go back and do it. And we waited and waited, and then the same people did a show called Captain Power in Canada, and they wanted me to play a character called I think Tank, and it was a big guy, and I'm like, I'm not that big. They says, well, we want a martial artist. He can either be big or he can be a martial artist, and they chose big. And the other thing they chose was a Canadian because I didn't have, you know, even a passport for Canada. So, you know, you have to have that dual passport thing.
Right.
It was just going to be too hard for me to get in. And it only lasted a little while before it was canceled. And then a lot of other actors went on to do the Silverhawks, Thundercats thing.
Nice.
That went on tour. Yeah, so Orko, who played... the one who played Orko went to play Gumby. She was Gumby. The horse. What's the horse? Gumby
Pokey.
Has a horse.
Pokey.
Yeah, Pokey. She was that. She they had a little wheels in the back connected to a strap on her back, and she would roll around with this thing. And they had Gumby on the show, and
yeah.
So a lot of the actors, about five or six of the actors from the He-Man tour, went that way. And that they said it wasn't the same. They weren't getting along with
really?
The other actors. There was too many egos. There was it was unorganized, and it was all about profits. It was all about money. There was no bonding. There was no family feel. You know, all of that. Excuse me. So yeah, it didn't last. I went to go see it. I got a program from that show. I wanted to see some of the guys, so they got me tickets to Madison Square Garden. And I went to Madison Square Garden, watched it, and I thought, yeah, this is nice. It's not the Masters of the Universe.
Completely different feeling, right?
It was Disney on ice. It was a bunch of just making money. But, you know, with the Masters tour, we were telling a story. And we were telling it in a way that you felt like you were there. You know, like a really good movie, like a good Star Wars movie that you feel like you're in space. You're there. You're battling. And even the kids felt like you see. What's funny is I as a bad guy, when I'm doing ninja, I come in from the audience. I come in from the crowd when we're about to have the big battle towards the end before the circus, Eternian circus.
Right.
And so I come into the audience, and I remember my niece and nephew were in the audience, and I came, and there was an empty chair, and I sat there, and they're looking up there, looking at He-Man, and they had no idea I was sitting next to them for several minutes.
Really?
If you can't smell this, yeah, if you can't smell this
you can't
costume,
smell you?
You know, you're really and they were engrossed watching this stage. All these kids, I'm watching the kids, and their eyes, and the adults, the parents too, are, you know, they're just eating their popcorn and just staring off and paying attention to every word said. And so I bump into my nephew, and he finally takes a peek, and he looks again, and he notices it's me. He jumps out of this seat, and he's hiding underneath the seat in front of him. My niece stops. He's running across the way, scared to death. They didn't know it was me. That was how you can tell, you know, from the audience how engrossed they were. And
right.
When we sang songs and we told people to sing along with us and to stand up and raise your sword with their, you know, these swords with lights in them, standing up. And he goes, you know, and man at arms, will you join us in this? And you hear, and you hear the kids, your hair stands up, and you go, this is why I'm doing this. The money was nice, but this is why I'm doing this. You know,
it's funny you say that, because, both Jack, Leslie, and Doug pretty much all said the same thing. You know, they you know, the money was nice and all, but that powerful message that they got to the kids and the interaction with the kids back with you guys was just so, like, so fulfilling that it kind of made it all worth it, you know? It was just so nice that it was like full circle, you know? It just really made them feel like what they were saying and doing was just so powerful, and it just really hit home, you know, with the fan interaction and you know, you guys saying what you guys were saying, and you know, the kids are screaming with their swords in the air and all of you guys all say the same thing. It was just that's what really made it well worth it, you know.
Well, that's one of the reasons I put some of the interviews on YouTube, some of the Jack and Leslie interviews. I have another interview with Songster that was really good interview. I don't know if I posted that one.
You haven't.
Oh, it's on there?
It's not. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I'll have to put it on there. I have to search for it and see it, make sure I transferred it from VHS to DVD. But... And I know some people are probably laughing, going, what's a DVD?
Yeah, right.
In this digital
age. VHS?
Yeah, what's VHS? So, yeah, Betamax. Anyway, so the message, when they wrote the script about you can be anything you want to be.
Right.
You can be a hero. You know, don't be pushed around. Don't be abused. If somebody does something wrong, tell somebody. This was all in there. I mean, it was in there way before this Me Too movement and all of this stuff was going on.
Right.
It was very sublime. And, you know, it wasn't as drastic as the Me Too movement, but it was, don't be bullied. And bullying is a big part of the whole Me Too thing. People are afraid to speak up because they're being bullied and they're scared.
Right.
And so these songs that we sang, and when Songster put his feelings into it, because you felt it when he was up there. I believe that he believed in the song. You know, there were times when he was exhausted, tired, and worn out. And you can hear that he's just trying to get through the day. But there was other times when you hear him sing. You hear him sing, and you know he's singing a message.
Yeah.
And you hear it. And you go, okay, this is a message. And the kids, little kids, as well as the adults, they're catching on. You know, they're getting it. They're getting the message. They're enjoying it. You know, we had a religious sect that got us outside of one of the arenas. They were out protesting with
someone. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have it on video. And some psychiatrist or whatever, psychologist or whatever she was saying, you know, what are we teaching kids? We're teaching them violence, that it's okay to hit someone back when they hit you or speak bad about you and grab swords and fight. But I tell you what. We were sold out because of them. We had to, I think we had to add an extra show so we can get everybody in.
Really?
because of what they were doing. They were giving us the free advertising. The bad
Yeah,
advertising is
yeah.
advertising.
Yeah.
And they were out there protesting that this show was a bad example. It was, they should close it down and they should
If
stop
they
it and blah, blah, blah.
only knew and actually sat in and watched it,
Right.
what the message was about.
Exactly. So, yeah. And they brought us a bigger crowd. I think we would have had a smaller crowd if it wasn't for them. So we had to thank them. And we had a hard time trying to get in ourselves because they were blocking our path. We had to get
Right.
in through the back door, So
Yeah.
yeah, that was
Yeah,
funny.
it's funny because I was actually making fun of like when Doug was telling me about it, and Doug and I we listened to the same type of music and stuff, and I was making references to Kiss because back in the 70s they had protests of people saying Kiss was like satanic worshippers and this and that. So I brought that up, and he was even saying it in essence it was given good publicity even though they were meant to give bad publicity. But if they only actually sat in the show and actually heard what the message was really about, it was pro non-bullying, and you can be whatever you want to be, and things of that nature and stuff. So, it's actually pretty funny that they actually helped and not hurt the show. So,
I mean, later on when I started to when we were auditioning, I mean not auditioning, rehearsing, and I was also getting prepped to go to California for the rehearsals. I had to sit down and actually watch some of the cartoons of the Masters of the Universe cartoon that was on the air at the time. And so I watched that and I thought it still had a good message. Yeah, he picked up a stone and threw a rock and whatever. It still had a really good message. And I thought, okay, maybe this isn't too bad getting involved with this because I wasn't sure what I was getting involved with. All I knew was it was just another job. But after, reading the script and seeing the effects, the effects were so much more with the lasers. I mean, they had a huge laser machine. This thing weighed tons. It was like this huge refrigerator on its side, and that's how we had the lasers. And they had to do away with the lasers because some of the props were reflecting lasers into kids' eyes and people's
Yeah,
eyes, and it was
I heard about that,
so they
yeah.
did away with that, and they used this skimpy little light thing later on. But the laser effects were fantastic. We had these cones, these steel cones that would come down on the stage, four of these cones. You see it in the commercial for the tour. They showed it in the commercial, but they had to eliminate that. It was too dangerous, too bulky. And then we had a slow motion sequence with silhouettes. These big screens came down on four corners of the four sides of the show, and the battle sequence goes into the slow motion fight sequence, and all you see is these shadows on these white screens going in slow motion. It was beautiful to watch, and we took a lot of time. It was a dance choreographer, Shaw Newman, who passed away, and myself worked on the choreography because it was part dance, part fight. And so we mixed it up, and we had this really nice thing, and they eliminated that. They took that away. So the people who got to see the first, the first, I don't know, three cities, maybe four cities, got to see the full tour. And it's so sad that nobody recorded the tour. I wish I would have brought my camera along. I didn't think it was allowed. And so I beat myself for that. But, somebody should have recorded it just for record. You figured Pace Concerts or somebody would have said, let's do a recording. Let's make sure we have this. No, they didn't do it. And
Yeah,
that was sad.
that's that. Yeah, I always said that too. It's like even pro, just for posterity, like or not, or even to tape the show and to maybe watch it with the entire crew and go over it and say, all right, well, you see you missed your cue here, or maybe we should speed this up here or do something here better, or this needs to be changed. But it's crazy that nothing was ever done. Like nobody ever taped it for any reasons, and it shocks me because you would think that, all right, even though it might not have been pro shot, you know, like they say, but I mean, even still, you know, you get somebody out there, you know, taping it just, you know, to go over it with the crew and you know, see what you guys did right or wrong, or what could be done better, or if any of you guys have any, you know, anything to add, any input, you know, things like that. And it's everybody who I spoke to involved in the show, they all said that you're the only person that ever decided to tape it at some point in time.
Well, there was a young lady. She got married to one of the stagehands on tour, and her name slips me right now. In fact, we visited with her in California when we were on tour. When we were staying in California, we had I guess a Christmas party or something at her house, and she recorded, I think, one show. And I think she recorded before me, if I remember right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was after, because maybe it was when we got back to California, and that was after Radio City and all that. We worked our way back to the West, and she had a copy of the show. I don't know if it was the entire show or clips, and I've been trying to find her and get a hold of her. I don't know her last name. You know, when she took on the married name, and I talked to several other people, and they says we have no way of finding her. And I've been trying to get a hold of her because I want a copy of that
Well,
to add to my collection.
me and you will get together because I'm pretty good at hunting down people, and
Right.
maybe you know, we could put our heads together and we could find her for the and see what we
Yeah,
can come up with.
really. She was really nice. But she was one of the dancers on the show, and like I said, she got married. I think she left after she got married. She left a little early, but I remember having her having a little portable video camera, which was like advanced compared to what I had. I had this bulky thing when I'm carrying with a strap on my shoulder, carrying the VCR and this. In fact, I thought I may even still have that camera just for,
Really?
you know, yeah, I may still have it, but the VCR died. We had to give it a moment of silence and a burial. But
He gave it a
yeah,
proper
no,
burial ground.
yeah. Yeah, so I'd like to get a hold of her.
Yeah. I'm telling you, maybe I'm telling you, we'll get together and off camera and we'll see if we can track it down.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun. I found a
Yeah.
lot of people using the internet. Now, any of your listeners on this thing have any questions? Are they all still there, or are we just the only ones talking to each other?
They're coming in and out, but I mean, if anything, let me see if anybody wrote anything. Not yet, but they'll probably write something. You know, and you know, you're part of the website now. Hold on a second. I don't know what the something's giving some major feedback in my house. I don't know what the hell it is. Brian, turn that off. What is that? You got the microphone on somewhere? Hold on, Gus. There's something going on in my house. Yeah, he left his microphone on. Sorry.
Power
I'm sorry. What were we saying? I just lost my train of thought.
Yeah, I was just wondering who was listening, who was still with us listening. I all I
Yeah,
see the
no, the people are coming in and out, but I mean, you're part of the Master of the Galaxy page, so I mean, you could go on there and you know, you can check it out and answer the questions if people have any. You know, and you know, you can answer it yourself. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's that'd be great to find her. Like I said, I'm pretty good at tracking people down. I was able to find you, Songster, so and other people as well, I was able to track down. You know, it'd be great to see if she has that video, and if she does, you know, excuse me, maybe we can persuade her into sharing it with us.
Right. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah,
We'll see what we can do.
that would definitely be great to get a tape, and then, you know, compare it with what you got, and maybe make a master, you know, a master copy, or something or another, and you know, then see where that goes, you know, because it'd be great. I mean, and that's another thing that really boggles my mind is the fact of the matter is that to this day, nobody's gotten a tape out there for the public to see, because that's, to me, I mean, I know I'm not alone in this. You know, I would love to own that and to be able to watch it, you know, in my house, you know, time and time again. You know, I always throw on the 87 movie and the cartoons and the Thundercats and Silverhawks and, you know, what have you. But you know, last year it was a real treat that you brought the, you know, your tape to PowerCon, and we were able to watch it there. That was really special.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was nice is, I think Val is his name, right, Val?
Yeah, Val.
Yeah, he posted it on YouTube, you know, the interviews, and I mean, people wanted to watch this thing uninterrupted. And what was nice, the second I showed the second half in the evening, one of the
Right.
copies that I had, and it turned out it was the same copy as the one they showed earlier. But people got to sit down and really enjoy it without, you know, the questions and answers and
Yes.
no interruption, you know. So I understand what you're saying about to be able to, you know, I'm kind of spoiled here at home, and we have a wall dedicated as a projector wall where we use an LED projector to show, you know, we watch movies at home. My son's
Yeah.
hard to be with in theaters sometimes, especially when he was younger. And
Right.
so, you know, if we missed a movie that was in the theaters, we watch it at home on the wall, and it's, you know, like being in a movie theater. The only great thing is when we have to go to the bathroom, we can pause it. So,
Exactly.
having a
Exactly.
copy of this, you know, I watched it on the big screen myself, and I mean, I feel like I'm there. It takes me back, the memories. But me working on this video, and I'm trying to do it on my own because it's hard to entrust something that means a lot to me personally to just anyone. And
Right.
I know Val and his buddies wanted to go in and edit it for me and so on, and they like send us all the originals, and I'm like, there's no way.
No.
I
Yeah.
remember my daughter's birth when she was born. We sent the film out, the first pictures ever taken of my daughter, whole roll of film, sent it out, never got it back. And after that
Yeah.
experience, I said,
Yeah.
I just don't send things out easily.
Yeah, no,
And I
that
know people were posting that.
Yeah. Things like that, that's what you
I
gotta watch
guess, you
out
know,
for, because those are
yeah.
that's like sensitive stuff, man. That's like your passport or like your social security card, you know?
Right. It is. It is. And when I put these videos together, I did it for me. I didn't do it thinking down the road that this was going to be as big as it was. I just wanted to share it with people, you know, like you know, I was sharing with you working with Michael Jackson. Well, I
Right.
videotaped making these costumes, so and holding up these costumes that Michael Jackson was wearing and wore later on. And you know, I had a friend of mine who thought my stories were a little far-fetched about my experiences and who I met and so on. So I
Right.
shared a video with him, and he saw me with this jacket, and then he sees Michael Jackson wearing it, and he goes, "This really happened, you know."
Yeah.
And with the tour, when I would share it with people and they'd come over and we'd watch it, they thought, "Well, it's not like seeing it live." Yeah, I know. Seeing it live is a great experience,
Yeah.
but I have a piece of memory. I have a piece of experience that was like nothing else. And
Right.
I go back and reflect every once in a while and look back. And then behind the scenes, some of the things we were doing behind the scenes, and some of the people that you forgot all about, and you look at behind the scenes, you go, "Wow, there was this
Yeah,
other guy. I
yeah,
remember he left, and Art, and this person." And so yeah, when I did it for me. So it means a lot to me. But then when I posted some stuff on YouTube, and I started getting these responses from quite a few people, some of them even threatening me with, you better put this on. You know, there are more people. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have to do anything. Don't threaten me. I'll come after you. So, but I thought about that. And there's a lot of people saying, when I was 5, when I was 8, when I was 10, I saw the show. It was the greatest and blah, blah. And then I go, you know what? I got to put this out there because nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
And so
well, nobody else has it either. So except for this lady in question. So, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been throughout the years, Jack and I, Jack made some phone calls trying to find out who do we talk to get around the legal problems of this. You know, red tape.
Well, yeah. Well, that's like the first thing that I actually brought up to you about that is because, you know, like you don't want to get yourself in trouble with that either because, you're just don't take this the wrong way, but I mean, you're just a regular Joe. I mean, these guys can have a whole friggin' floor full of lawyers that can come after you, and that's the last thing that you'd want, you know?
Right. Well, you know, it was when I first posted it on YouTube, I expected that YouTube would take it off because of copyrights, and they didn't.
Right.
So then I said, okay, let me put a little bit more and a little bit more. There was something that they did edit, and I'm going to try to put it on again. It was PM Magazine had some really good footage of us, of the show, going on live, and they posted it on TV. And the show is no longer in existence, PM Magazine. But there was music that was copyrighted.
Oh,
and YouTube would not let me put the music on. So there was a picture, but no music. So but I like the music. It goes well with what they did with the edited version of theirs. So my thoughts are, you know, I tried to talk to certain people. I talked to Forbes. He talked to Tony Christopher. We talked to, you know, the writers and we're coming up blank when it comes to the producers of the music. And I know somebody who's involved with the music. I don't know how to get a hold of him. I don't even know if he's still alive. But I've decided that, you know, it was a non-union production. I'm not going to be making a lot of money on this. When I sell these things for nothing at the next PowerCon, hopefully.
Just try to get it out there for the right people. You're doing it for the right reasons.
Right. It's going to get out there. It's going to spread like wildfire. People are going to make copies, even though if I told them not to.
That's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, it's going to make its way to YouTube. It's going to be all on YouTube. People are going to see it worldwide. And that's all fine. That's going to be my decision. When I do that, it's going to be on me. And that's, you know, it gets you a little nervous and you're right. You know, they'll come after me and they'll take what little I have, all 35 cents of what I have in my bank account. So I have to be careful about this. And I've been trying to be careful about it.
Right.
And trying to talk to the right people, but I think it's time. People,
you got to cover your own ass, man. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, people want it, and I want to supply it. The only thing I'm going to be really careful with is the behind-the-scenes stuff. There's stuff that is personal. There's stuff that that people would not want. On, you know, friends of mine would say, Gus, I'm upset you didn't ask me. You posted some stuff of me, and, you know, so I have to be careful. Of some of that.
Yeah.
I'd like to just try to edit as much of behind the scenes with nobody in them.
Yeah.
I think that would work.
That'd be the smart good.
Yeah.
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 Well, like, let me ask you, the statute of limitations, like, I mean, cause now you're talking 20 plus years. So, I mean, statute of limitations had to run out on certain things as well.
Yeah, I don't know about this, though. I don't know, because music, they've changed things a lot with music.
Yeah.
After, you know, what happened with Motown and so many of the old stars, singers, they changed things. So, you know, when they did this, I'm sure, because Mary Tyler Moore and all the others have copyright, you know, powers.
Right.
And whoever wrote the music, you know, that was, you know, Forbes, that was his concern. Mm-hmm. Forbes said, you know, we got to be careful because we don't own this music.
Right.
And this music is going to be out there. So, you know, whether it's Mattel, you know, I don't know who owns it. And getting a hold of these people is nearly impossible.
Oh, yeah,
and,
of course.
So,
yeah, it's
so it's more like.
And the thing is, too, is, you know, like at one point in time, whatever company had the rights, now they're absorbed into another company that's been absorbed into another company, and blah 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 blah. So it is going to be tough to find
It's
out
going to be a leap
exactly
of
who's
faith.
involved.
Yeah, I'm going to take a leap of faith when I put it out there. I, like I said, I want to do this myself. I'm going to do it on my computer and try to do the best that I could do. And then we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping to have it ready before the PowerCon comes on. I haven't been invited to the PowerCon yet from Val or anybody, so
Right.
I'm
Well,
not
like I
sure if
said,
they're
buddy,
doing
yeah,
it.
I got two beds in my room, so if you want, we could be bunk beds.
Yeah,
It could be
I hear you. It all depends. It depends if I am going down with my wife and my son.
Right.
It all depends. I planned on going alone, but my wife showed some interest in going.
Oh, that's
So
nice. That'd be
she said
cool.
she had a good time last time. So yeah, so it would kind of play it by ear, but I like to, I prefer having an invite
Oh
before
yeah,
I
without
would be
doubt. Yeah.
yeah. Instead of inviting myself
No, I
and then
hear
just to
you. I
say,
hear you. I hear you. Well, I mean, again, if I can help in any way with the production of getting this video out to people, my services, they're there. I want that video out there as much as you probably want to get it out to the rest of the people. So if I can help in any which way possible, I'm more than willing to help. It to me, it's just again, it's the one piece I believe of Masters of the Universe, like canon, that's kind of like redheaded stepchild. Like, people forget, they either don't know about it or they forgot about it. And I believe that it needs to be out there. People need to know about it. It needs to be brought back and for people to enjoy. And it's something that it's part of the folk. The folklore, folklore, whatever that word is, of Masters of the Universe, man. People like you and Doug and the Wadsworths and everybody else who was involved. You guys need to have your time in the sun. That's the way I look at it, and that's why I hunted you guys down to do these, to get you guys on here to let the fans know, hey man, listen, this happened. This is part of you're a Masters of the Universe fan. This is part of it. You shouldn't look past it. You should want to look more into it and have fun with it. And if getting the video out to the masses so they can see it for themselves and say, oh wow, yeah, look at that. This was really, really cool. And if that's what it's gonna take, man, then shit, that's what it's gonna take.
Yeah, the big thought of really pushing to get this done was attending the last PowerCon and how many people showed up. I mean, it was amazing that, for such a small, you figure that it's a small following. There were
Oh
people
yeah.
from England. There were people from around the world coming
Oh,
to
without a
this
doubt.
event.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting back, signing autographs and what have you. And I'm just Ninja. Ninja, who knows Ninja? He-Man. We know He-Man. Skeletor. We know
Yeah.
Skeletor.
Yeah.
And we know She-Ra. But we know all of them, but Ninja. And yet people were still coming and going, hey, yeah, I want an autograph. And I haven't done autographs for the Masters Tour since the Masters Tour. So there was a, it really took me back. I know I
Yeah,
was driving Jack listening.
must have made you feel good too,
It does because, I mean, I sign autographs as Elvis. I do the Elvis show. I don't know if you mentioned that or checked that out, but I sign Gus Park Elvis, and then when I do movies, people see me on a set and they want an autograph. They don't even know who I am. But with the tour, with the tour, we had to, we were on contract to sign autographs. We, by contract, if they told us to go out there and sign, we had to go out there and sign, you know, banners and posters and whatever.
Right.
So we did. We had to jump back into the smelly costume, run out there and do that. But what we used to do at Radio City is as soon as the show was over, we'd run to the back doors. And then sometimes we get caught in the back door. Some people knew about the back doors. So
right.
They'd stop us for autographs at the back door and we're going, oh. So I remember coming out of the back door with a character who played Rock On. And we went out the back door and people were waiting for autographs. They go, well, who, are you one of the, and we go, oh, He-Man's coming soon. He-Man's coming soon. We took off running to the subway because, you know, some of these actors stayed at my house in Manhattan. So we managed to get away without having to sign autographs because we're just exhausted after three shows.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, but I'm down, man.
Man, I was glad that the last stop on the A train was my stop because I'd fall asleep on a train. And so, it was rough. And I felt bad, you know, because it's a nice thing to sign autographs. There's nothing bad about it. I just didn't want to.
Yeah, but after doing an exhortary or, you know, a show for, you know, you know, it takes its toll, you know, it's tough.
But yeah, you know, it's, there's, I can probably share one show, story with you. I shared it with you personally.
Yeah.
I can share it with, for your viewers.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It was just got finished doing a show, and I don't know if it was the second show, but I think it was the second one because I was exhausted. And I went backstage, got out of costume, took my shower, and somebody comes, Gus, there's somebody out there. Hold on, gotta go potty. You hurt your finger? Give me a second here, my son's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me see. Let me see your finger. You gonna say hello?
Hey.
Okay. Hey, you're what's going on?
You got pinched on your finger. Okay, go ahead in the living room. I'll be there in a little bit. Anyway, I took a shower. I'm done. I'm ready to go home or to the hotel. And they said, Gus, you got to go out there. There's a kid who wants to talk to you. I'm like, oh, man, I'm really exhausted. I'm not getting back in that costume. You know, it's sweaty and smelly. They go, no. The kid wants to meet you, the actor who plays Ninja. I said, a kid, you know, maybe 7 years old or something like that. And I said, well, okay, let me go out and just talk to this kid real quick. So I go out there, they're sitting, you know, out in front of the stage with the mom and the kid. And so I say, hello, I shake his hand, I sit down. He goes, I want you to have something. And I go, okay. And he pulls out this little clip-on ninja.
You showed it to me. This thing is really, really cool. Maybe you could take a picture and put it on the web, the Facebook page.
Yeah, I would have to do that. It means a lot
pretty
to me.
Cool. It's for the listeners. This is a really special. It's really cool, and he actually still has it to this day. So it's pretty sweet. Yeah,
this kid with tears in his eyes, he gives me this thing. And I grab it, and I'm going, if this kid makes me cry, I'm going to spank him myself. he was bringing tears to my eyes, and the mother's crying. And he goes, I really like Ninjor. I know you're a good guy inside. And the kid's going on, 7 years old, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, maybe eight. And so I'm really moved. And I looked at the kid, and I go, you want me to sign anything? So I signed a few things for him. And I said, are you hungry? And he goes, you know, he was afraid to ask. He looked at the mom, and the mom says, well, we can eat. And I said, all right, let's go up and get some hot dogs and whatever you want at the vendors. Mm-hmm. And they kept one open for us. And so I took the kid up there and got some hot dogs and stuff and fed him and hung out with him for about, I don't know, an hour and a half or so. And then I knew I needed to go get some sleep. So I said, okay, well, you know, we got to go our own way now, and it's time to say goodbye. And
thanks,
again,
bud.
With tears in his eyes, he's saying goodbye, and thank you so much. And he gives me a hug, and I wasn't a very good hugger. You know, I'm not big on hugs. So I gave him a hug, and that stays with me. And when I grab that little doll thing, I'm there. I'm remembering that. And the fact that it was me by myself, Not He-Man, not She-Ra, not Skeletor, Ninjor, of all people. So I was really taken back. And then he wanted to meet me, the actor, not the costume, not the bad guy.
Right.
He wanted, and this kid is, you know, I've never seen that. You know, it was, so it really blew me away. It stays with me as one of the greatest moments of the tour for me. And well, I think my wife just got home. So I think it's going to be time to get off here and take care of the wife.
Yeah, after the story, we'll wrap it up.
Okay. So yeah, that was it. You know, that was a great experience with the little kid. You know, I mean, there were a lot of little kids with autographs, but that to want to meet me, the actor, not knowing anything about me, and he probably didn't even know I was the choreographer. You know, of the battle sequences.
Right. Yeah.
But he wanted to.
Yeah, but no, but that even that, you know, even that he made you that thing, man. That's, you know, that really must have taken you back. You know, like that's freaking cool, man. I mean, he's not, he didn't make He-Man one. He made you one. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah. It's so yeah, but if you know, if there's a need for another interview in the future, we can discuss it.
Yes. Without a doubt, you're welcome to come back on the show. You know, I'm sure there's plenty more stories to be told. You know, I'm glad that, you know, we formed this friendship. I'm glad that you're on the show. And that you shared your stories with the group. But you know, please take a picture of that thing that that kid made you to show to you know, take a picture and put it on the Facebook page to show everybody. Because, you know, when you showed me that was really special, you know. And again, he didn't, like, again, you know, it's not like he made He-Man or She-Ra or Skeletor. He made Gus Park, you know. He made you, you know.
Right. That's exactly right, yeah.
That's really, really, that's special and really cool. So, but all right, man. Listen, you know, it was great having you on the show. I mean, without a doubt, now that we figured out how to do this after it took 3-4 weeks, we'll definitely definitely have you back on, man. Again, it was a pleasure having you on, Gus. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You know, when it comes to sharing these stories, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really do. And that's what I really like, that, you know, you're able to take the time out of your busy schedule to share your stuff and do this. You know, I've had people that said flat out no, they don't want to do it, you know. But it's people like you that make it worthwhile. So I deeply appreciate it. I really do. There'll be another time, and I'm sure we'll speak again in a week or so. Thank you. Guys, just want to say there'll be another show next Monday. Thanks again, Gus, and until next time, guys. Rock on, man. Thanks again.
All righty. We'll see you.
See you later, Gus. Bye-bye.